Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
Moncrief on News Talk.
This story I saw online during the week and I just thought it was incredible. Dublin Zoo enlisted the help of 30 breastfeeding mothers to help encourage a female orangutan bond with her newborn. To tell us more about this project, I'm joined in studio by Lizzie Reeves, clinical midwife specialist in lactation at the National Maternity Hospital. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Stephanie.
When I read this, my son is nearly 7 months and I breastfed him until 6 months and I was like, oh, I wish I was still breastfeeding so that I could
know,
do this.
Yeah.
Tell, for people who aren't aware, take us back.
What happened? So my husband is a vet and he knows Emma Flynn, who's the vet in Dublin Zoo. So Emma texted him one day and said, Dara, did you mention that your wife is a lactation consultant? Any chance she could give us a hand or give us some advice on Majeure, because they had an orangutan, or have an orangutan, Majeure, who's 19, who was pregnant. Majeure hadn't managed to breastfeed either of her two previous babies and unfortunately they didn't survive. So Emma recognised that they needed to do something different this time around. She had a little baby herself at the time. So she said, yeah, can you come in and give us some advice? So that was the best call I ever got in my life. I love animals. I'm passionate about breastfeeding and I love teaching women. That's the thing that I really enjoy, mm-hmm. is teaching people. So to combine that with looking after animals in the zoo was like a dream come true for me. Seriously.
Did they have any sense of why she hadn't breastfed her first two?
I don't know, to be honest, because I wasn't involved when she had her mm-hmm. first two babies.
But I just know from the barriers, this is the way my mind goes, like the barriers to humans breastfeeding is often not just knowledge, you know. Breastfeeding is, it's my favourite thing I've ever done, but it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
I agree
and I needed
with you,
a lot of support in learning how, and it was difficult.
Yeah, and that's the trouble with orangutans, that you can't obviously get hands-on with them. They're class one of the most dangerous animals in the zoo, so you couldn't get near them. So the thing is to try to teach them through the glass as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But the orangutans have a funny anatomy. Like when they're quite flat-chested, and when they're pregnant, their breasts start to fill up and their nipples get bigger and they kind of point out under their arms. So it's difficult for a baby to get access to the breast at all.
Okay.
Anyway, even when the mum has milk. So she just didn't have success getting her previous babies to latch on. So like that, they knew that this baby had to survive. He's a really valuable genetic profile. His dad, Saibu, actually died. It was the big dominant male in Dublin Zoo and he died at the start of March. So they knew that his profile was really important to the EEP, which is the Endangered Species Breeding Programme. So there's 40 zoos around Europe with about 200 orangutan individuals in that, distributed amongst those 40 zoos. So for this little baby had to survive because his genetic profile is so important to continue on the breeding of Bornean orangutans.
So you went into the zoo
and
what did you say to them? How are we going to do this?
Yeah, so we went in and myself and Emma, like yourself, were going, God, I wish I was still breastfeeding. I'd finished in January. She'd finished more recently than mm-hmm. me. And you were thinking, God, if only we could bring in our babies and sit here now and breastfeed, wouldn't that be lovely? And then obviously neither of us were still breastfeeding. So we said, well, we can't breastfeed ourselves, but we can bring in other women who can. So my friend Nora and our little baby Elodie, who've been in the pictures probably that you might have seen, I rang her and she is also mad about animals. And she said, absolutely, what do I have to do? I'll come in and mm-hmm. put in front of her. So then we thought,
right. So you decided, how was it that you knew that just by watching, this was how she was going
to
do it?
Orangutans are known to mirror human behaviour.
Oh, great.
So
okay.
The word orangutan actually means human of the forest, and they share 97% of our DNA, which is actually unbelievable when you think about it. They're so similar to us, and they are known to mirror human behaviour. So we thought, by watching the women, she's going to understand what she needs to do and we'll take it from there. So we put we made a whole antenatal plan for her, but other things that we did were, let's say, offered her porridge for her breakfast. You know, oats is what's called a galactagogue. It can help increase your milk supply.
Yes.
Things like, she had garlic included in her diet because babies can taste garlic in utero. So we thought, if the milk smells like garlic, that'll be a familiar taste to the baby. And maybe if she's leaking milk, that the baby will be more likely to go there to a familiar smell. Mm-hmm. So the keepers were amazing and did positive reinforcement while she was watching the breastfeeding women, so that it would be associated with a good and happy time for
her. So they just got the breastfeeding women in to sit between the glass. And how did they attract her to come to the glass?
She came herself. It was unbelievable. So every morning at 9:30, the women were there. They were there nearly every day.
Was the zoo closed?
No, the zoo opens at 9:30. So the keepers close the orangutan house. So there's safety glass with the orangutans on one side. The mum sat on the other. The keepers set up some chairs for them. There was four women max each day sat there. And when they sat there, some of the women took off their t-shirts and bras, others didn't. It, you know, was each to their own, whatever people were comfortable with. It was like a little breastfeeding group, to be honest. And Majour came down and watched. It was absolutely unbelievable. Like, she'd gather up her bedding and sit there watching the women, absolutely enthralled, like really taking it all in. So there was babies from one of the girls, a vet nurse. Her baby, she came when her baby was 2 weeks old. Like,
two weeks
to get out of the house to be in the zoo at 9:30 in the morning is such a dedication. Like,
amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Even at 2 weeks old, to know to time the breastfeed for the right time, do you know?
Although 2 weeks old are hungry all the time.
2 weeks old are hungry, yeah. So she could probably guarantee a feed in the zoo. But Majour came down and watched. It was absolutely amazing. So she'd be having her breakfast and watching the women breastfeeding. So it was amazing.
And how long would they stay?
They stayed until about an hour, because Majour has her own routine. You know, she goes out at the right time for her own well-being.
Yeah.
So the keepers wanted to keep her within her normal routine. Yeah. So the women had to be in at 9:30 and they had to be finished by about 10:30.
Do you know how long a pregnancy is for an orangutan?
Yeah, it's 8 months.
Okay, so not too different to us.
Now,
and how pregnant was she when this was happening?
No one was really sure, because Saibu had died at the start of March and no mating had been observed prior to that. So the keepers noticed that her shape was changing and they thought, gosh, this is a bit unusual, but surely she can't be pregnant, because Saibu hadn't been well before he died. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the keepers managed to get a pregnancy test on her, because orangutans do some training for health purposes, you know, so that they can show a hand or show a foot if there's need to be checked out at all. So they managed to get a urine sample and got a pregnancy test on her, like a human pregnancy test, just
clear
blue dip at you. And they said they're absolutely shocked, could not believe it. So this was like Saibu's parting gift to the world, was a new baby. So like that, he was a really high ranking male in the breeding program. So his little boy now is going to carry on the...
Okay, so don't spoil it for us. So has she had the baby and has she breastfed?
Yeah, so she had the baby on the 31st of July and she minded it really well and kissed it and cuddled it, which she hadn't done with her previous babies.
Okay.
So she carried it beautifully. She cleaned it. He was absolutely spotless, kissing him, cuddling him.
Sorry, do they have the babies in the zoo?
Like, they have the babies in the zoo really quick. So wild animals generally have their babies really quick, because they're... obviously there's a risk of danger, so deliver the baby. So they caught her on the camera in the middle of the night, had the baby, no problem, baby absolutely spotless. She did not breastfeed the baby, unfortunately.
No,
I know, it was so disappointing. She really did everything right. Like, you could only give her a gold star for her effort in minding the baby. She had him in the crook of her arm. Anytime she'd put him down, he'd be rooting. She'd put him back up again on her shoulder. And we were thinking, like, if you go into the zoo with your baby, you hold your baby up by your face.
Yeah.
And you're talking to your baby with your baby's face right beside yours. And that's what she did. She had her baby up right beside her face the whole time, kissing him and cuddling him.
But she didn't know how to latch him.
She didn't manage to feed him. She did. He was so close so many times. And I was saying, like, as a human lactation consultant, a human midwife, you don't want to intervene, but you're trying to, you know, you really wish that you could. And there was times when I really wished that I could just give his foot a little tug and put him an inch lower so that he'd latch on, because he was rooting. But obviously I couldn't do that. So it was a lesson in patience for me. But she was so close, but she didn't quite do it. So after a certain length of time, the decision was made that the baby was going to have to be hand reared, just for the conservation of the species. Do you know, that's what Dublin Zoo is so heavily involved in, is orangutan conservation. So they support the Orangutan Foundation in Borneo, and that's really what zoos are all about, is conservation of species. So he had to be removed from his mum, and he is being hand-reared in the zoo at the moment by an excellent team of expert keepers and vets and all on board. And the plan is for him to go to Monkey World in Dorset, which is a designated specialist area for orangutans, for hand rearing of orangutans.
Why can't he stay with his mother?
Because she would, like, if you returned the baby to her, she wouldn't give it back to you.
Okay.
You know, they're so protective of their babies.
Okay.
So that, I know that's the dream, is that you would be able to just feed the baby and give it back and she would return it. And maybe after years of training, some orangutans might do that, but it also depends on their personalities. I actually asked the keepers and the nurses the same question in the zoo, because obviously you want them
that's
to stay
together.
But
he won't be feeding, and he won't.
Yeah, and you don't want to be intervening every time to try to
get him
baby
back,
to feed it and hand it back to her. It'd be traumatizing and unsafe for everybody.
Oh God, what a heart-wrenching, happy, great, but also kind of sad story. Yeah, thank you so much, Lizzie Reeves, the lactation consultant from the National Maternity Hospital. And well done for
for
that whole plan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.